Macmillan Audio presents A Prisoner of Birth by Geoffrey Archer. Read by Roger Allam. Prologue. "Yes," said Beth. She tried to look surprised, but wasn't all that convincing, as she had already decided that they were going to be married when they were at secondary school. However, she was amazed when Danny fell on one knee in the middle of the crowded restaurant. "Yes," Beth repeated, hoping he'd stand up before everyone in the room stopped eating and turned to stare at them. But he didn't budge. Danny remained on one knee and, like a conjurer, produced a tiny box from nowhere. He opened it to reveal a simple gold band boasting a single diamond that was far larger than Beth had expected, although her brother had already told her that Danny had spent 2 months' wages on the ring. When Danny finally got off his knee, he took her by surprise again. He immediately began to tap a number on his mobile. Beth knew only too well who would be on the other end of the line. "She said yes," Danny announced triumphantly. Beth smiled as she held the diamond under the light and took a closer look. "Why don't you join us?" Danny added before she could stop him. "Great. Let's meet at that wine bar off the Fulham Road, the one we went to after the Chelsea game last year. See you there, mate." Beth didn't protest. After all, Bernie was not only her brother, but Danny's oldest friend, and he'd probably already asked him to be his best man. Danny turned off his phone and asked a passing waiter for the bill. The maitre d' bustled across. "It's on the house," he said, giving them a warm smile. It was to be a night of surprises. When Beth and Danny strolled into the Dunlop Arms, they found Bernie seated at a corner table with a bottle of champagne and 3 glasses by his side. "Fantastic news," he said, even before they had sat down. "Thanks, mate," said Danny, shaking hands with his friend. "I've already phoned Mum and Dad," said Bernie, as he popped the cork and filled the 3 champagne glasses. "They didn't seem all that surprised, but then it was the worst-kept secret in Bow." "Don't tell me they'll be joining us as well," said Beth. "Not a chance," said Bernie, raising his glass. "You only got me this time. To long life and West Ham winning the cup." "Well, at least one of those is possible," said Danny. "I think you'd marry West Ham if you could," said Beth, smiling at her brother. "Could do worse," said Bernie. Danny laughed. "I'll be married to both for the rest of my life. Except on Saturday afternoons," Bernie reminded him. "And you might even have to sacrifice a few of those once you take over from Dad," said Beth. Danny frowned. He had been to see Beth's father during his lunch break and had asked for permission to marry his daughter. Some traditions die hard in the East End. Mr. Wilson couldn't have been more enthusiastic about Danny becoming his son-in-law, but went on to tell him that he had changed his mind about something Danny thought they'd already agreed on. "And if you think I'm going to call you Gov when you take over from my old man," said Bernie, breaking into his thoughts, "you can forget it." Danny didn't comment. "Is that who I think it is?" said Beth. Danny took a closer look at the 4 men standing by the bar. "It certainly looks like him." "Looks like who?" asked Bernie. "That actor what plays Dr. Beresford in The Prescription."
"Lawrence Davenport," whispered Beth.
"I could always go and ask him for his autograph," said Bernie.
"Certainly not," said Beth, "although Mum never misses an episode."
"I think you fancy him," said Bernie, as he topped up their glasses.
"No, I don't," said Beth a little too loudly, causing one of the men at the bar to turn round. "And in any case," she added, smiling at her fiancé, "Danny's far better looking than Lawrence Davenport."
"Dream on," said Bernie. "Just because Danny boy's shaved and washed his hair for a change, don't think he's going to make a habit of it, sis. No chance. Just remember that your future husband works in the East End, not the city."
"Danny could be anything he wanted to be," said Beth, taking his hand.
"What do you got in mind, sis? Tycoon or tosser?" said Bernie, thumping Danny on the arm. "Danny's got plans for the garage that will make you..."
"Shh," said Danny, as he refilled his friend's glass.
"He'd better have, 'cause getting spliced don't come cheap," said Bernie. "To start with, where are you going to live?"
"There's a basement flat just round the corner that's up for sale," said Danny.
"But have you got enough readies?" demanded Bernie,